friends. I'm your host, Dr. Dave Layton, and thank you for joining me in our journey to hope. It is my desire through this podcast to bring you information about how to discover, sustain, or perhaps regain hope. In this episode, I'm joined by Chris Moran. Chris, did I pronounce that right?
You did.
All right. Chris Moran, he's the executive director of the North Alabama Christian Children's Home. Now, we've had a relationship with the North Alabama Christian Children's Home as sojourners for quite a few years. For my wife and I, we've been working with it now for 2 years, and I look forward to many more years working with them. Well, hello, Chris.
Hello, Mr. Dave.
Well, to begin with, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, then we'll go on in and talk about the North Alabama Christian Children's Home.
All righty. I am Chris Moran. I've been married to my wife, Janice. This October will be 24 years.
Wonderful.
We have 6 adopted children, 3 of which we adopted from the children's home.
Okay.
I've been associated with the home for around 20-something years. Worked as a maintenance man here. I have been on the board. I think I was on the board 4 or 5 years. My wife and I were house parents out here for about 5 years. My mom was a house parent out here. Also, my in-laws were house parents out here. So we've had some association for well over 20 years with the home. We still have two children at home. One is 8. He broke his arm yesterday.
Oh, no.
At school. And our oldest daughter at home is 16. So we're still in the youth ministry business with kids at home.
You know, you and I were talking a few minutes before, and you were saying possibility of an opening, kind of hinting maybe Lynn and I would be interested. And I said, I'd want to adopt every one of the kids. You sound like me.
Yeah, you do. It's a bad situation, but they're really good kids. I was at a wedding a couple of months ago and was telling somebody where I worked, and the young woman's like, oh, you work there with all those bad kids. And I was like, oh, well, they're really not bad kids. They just come from bad situations. And so I think there's a big stereotype about foster children, but they're sweet kids. They've got their baggage just like anybody else does. But yeah, I mean, we would take them off if we could.
Oh, sure. And they, unfortunately, many times, or sometimes I should say, have been influenced in bad ways, or haven't had at least good influence. Maybe not a bad situation. It's just not been gravitating toward good.
Yep.
It's a wonderful opportunity. So you guys have been married 24 years. That's wonderful.
24 years.
That's great.
All right. Marital bliss. If my wife's going to listen to this, this podcast later, I'm sure she will.
All right. Well, you took over as the director of the North Alabama Christian Children's Home this year.
Yes, sir.
So this is your first year. And so how has it been so far? You get that feeling of taking a drink from a fire hydrant?
You know, the way I explain it is Don Williams, our previous director.
Yeah.
With my experience here, I told Don in the very beginning, I said, you know, I know about 75% of the job. It's that 25% that I'm really worried about. And I think I went to him a month later and I said, hey, Don, I had my numbers inverted there. It's like, I probably knew 25%. Yeah. It's the 75% that I'm still learning.
That's right. It's amazing to look at something from the inside out. Your perceptions and all of that are going to be different. All right. This past month, the sojourners were here. We helped do some maintenance around the place, and then we helped with the annual sale. Did I understand you raised $57,400?
So far, a little over $57,000. Yeah, $57,400, and money's still coming in.
Yeah.
I've got some checks to pick up today, hopefully, and then I know I talked to Brother Coates, where we do the farm. New to the trail ride, and he's got another check or two to hand in.
Good.
So it may hit 60 before it's all over with.
So every year you have a giant yard sale and an auction and a trail ride as a big fundraiser. So that's what we were here for, and we enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
Y'all, and I said when you were here, this a group of sojourners that come this year. I mean, y'all got so much done in so little time. It was amazing.
Well, you don't have to add to the list next year.
we'll try to be a little more picky next year.
No, that's fine. We enjoyed it. Uh, and, and uh, That's just part of what we do. Okay. All right. Well, so you have been associated with the school, the children's home now for 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. That's great. Okay. Well, let's talk about the North Alabama Christian Children's Home. And where I'm going with this is one of the things that you do here is you offer these children hope that the kids, sometimes they don't realize they're coming out of a situation where obviously their hope is challenged. Some of them just don't know any better. And you give them a chance here to regain and move forward with hope. But there's another element too. It is an opportunity for folks that participate with the children's home to get outside of themselves and strengthen their own hope, mm-hmm. seeing hope grow in others and just being a part of the process. So tell me about the North Alabama Christian Children's Home. It's located here in just outside of Florence.
We're about 15 minutes north of Florence in a little area called Greenhill, Alabama.
Okay.
Between Killen and Florence. We were established in 1973. We had our first house parents came in 1973. They were from Birmingham, Alabama. They came out sight unseen and took care of our first children. Our first children were from Birmingham. They were a few kids that were living on the streets in Birmingham, eating out of garbage cans.
Oh, no.
And they came to live with us at the home, and that's kind of what established us as a children's home. We take children in now. Age ranges from 6 to 17. They can stay with us till they age out of age 21, but they can stay a little longer if they're in school or if they have full-time jobs.
Okay.
But usually we're set up to be a short-term facility.
Okay.
DHR puts them here if there's no foster home resources available, which right now there's around 5,700 foster kids in Alabama and only about 2,400 foster homes. And so that's where places like us come in. The definition of hope that I've always held on to was a joyful expectation of something better coming.
Oh, I like that.
And so some of the kids, and you stated this earlier, they come to the children's home not knowing what to expect, not knowing what they're coming out of was maybe not a good situation. And I will say this, the parents that we work with too, they're good people. They just made some bad choices. And a lot of kids don't know what they're coming out of and what quote unquote normality kind of looks like until they're here. And some adjust really well to that. And some don't accept it as good because it's not what they're used to. And that's the heartbreaking cases is they just don't accept the goodness that God has shown them through this work. But for the most part, they're introduced to something they've never experienced before, and that is love and care and concern.
In an environment that's focused on our Lord.
Yeah, that's what has kept us thriving for the last 50 years is we still operate by the same principles that this home was founded on, and that's the love and admonition of Jesus and showing them what family really truly means through a Christian perspective.
Okay, good. Good. Tell me again, your definition of hope, a joyful
expectation of something better coming.
Okay. That's great. I like that. You know, you said something. I mentioned before we got started with the interview that I was raised in an orphanage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was back in the 50s, early 60s. It was the traditional, when someone says orphanage, you know, what are you thinking of? It was big red brick castle looking thing that had open bay dormitories. And we were extremely well taken care of. I don't ever want anybody to feel sorry for me because I was in that environment. Somebody asked me one time, said, how did your mother put you in an orphanage? And as I've thought about that over the years, I haven't really ever questioned it myself. My mother was expressing love for me the best way she knew how,
mm-hmm.
because we were so much better off than we would have been in that environment.
Right.
Mother and father had divorced. He was abusive to her and an alcoholic and, you know, that kind of a broken family. And back then that was the social safety net mm-hmm. for children. It didn't have the children's homes like you have. But I just wanted to emphasize on there, sometimes parents may have to turn over the charge of their children to someone like North Alabama Christian Children's Home. And it's not that they don't love the children. And in some cases, it is an expression of love.
Well, I mean, you can't see right now, but I got chills all over my body when you said that, because sometimes they love them enough to know that they can't supply for them what they need. And so
that's tough.
That's tough. But that is the case a lot of the time.
Sure.
Really good people that just can't get their life situated in a way that can take care of another person. And so it's not that they don't love them. It's just they love them enough to know that someone else needs to take care of them, even if it's just for a little bit of time till they can get their life, you know, straightened out.
Yeah. Well, I said when I was introducing the podcast that I'm trying to help folks discover, sustain, or perhaps regain hope. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're helping bring about, both in the child and in the family,
right?
To give them that opportunity sometimes to regain hope.
And we'd love to work with parents as well.
Sure.
To help them. When we were in foster care in our personal home, we always tried to help the parents out, because the whole idea of foster care is reunification of the biological family, if it's all possible.
Good. Yes.
And so we're always trying to help the parents of the children, not only the children, but, you know, we don't, God set up family for mom and dad and the kids to be under one roof and to live in harmony with one another. And that's the goal when it's possible, when it's a safe and possible environment.
Yeah. So you're, it's another way that you're offering help to a family.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you're not trying to separate families. You want families unified. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a very good thing, but you help intervene in a very positive way when it's necessary. Okay. Yeah. You know, you said you're not a long-term facility. I've noticed that when we're here helping us sojourners for a couple of weeks, sometimes we get to know some of the kids, and then when we come back, those kids have moved on.
Right. Well, so this probably will sound bad for me saying it because I'm the director here, but DHR doesn't like placing kids in a group home.
Sure.
Because, you know, they thrive more if they're with a family. And it's understandable, because you've got, you know, six or eight kids in one home. You're not going to be able to give the attention to individually as they need all of the time. But what we do is we try to separate the kids as far as the way we work with them. Everyone on staff, it's not just we're the office staff and then their house parents kind of left out there. We all are in this together.
Yeah.
And I like to call us a support staff. We're not just here making the decisions and paying the bills. We're here for the betterment of the kids, but also for the betterment of the house parents as well.
Okay.
And so it's like a family. And the way that we're set up, we have three individual cottages that are operated by three individual house parents, and they're autonomous. They make their own rules, of course, under our guidelines.
Sure. Yeah.
They go to different churches. They have different rules for their homes, and just as long as it follows the guidelines of our bylaws, then they're, you know, free to do the disciplinary the way they see fit and the, you know, all of that good stuff. And so it's sort of set up like a traditional foster home, only there's three houses on one campus right now.
Okay. One thing I noticed when we were here a few weeks ago helping out, kind of brought a smile to my face, is when I see, like, you specifically interacting with the children, the staff, again, that just expresses the support for the child from all the different directions.
And that's important. Like, even our maintenance people, you know, they'll throw football with the boys, or they'll, you know, kick ball back and forth.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's because they're getting it out of the way of the lawnmower, but they still are out there.
And then there's Scout.
And there's,
I don't want to forget about Scout, the campus mascot, I guess you could say.
Oh, man, she is our guard dog. She is our, I mean, she's our comfort. She'll, if you're having a bad day, walk outside and Scout will make it better.
Yeah. Yeah. She is a loving dog. That's
she
for
really
sure.
Is. She loves bacon too.
Oh, okay.
Everyone go on her good side. Just bring some bacon.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about your goals for the children's home. And part of the reason I want to talk about that is, maybe there's something out there that somebody could help with, and we're going to go there as well, what folks can do. But tell us a little bit about your goals for the children's home.
I am developing, as we speak, I call it the CARE initiative.
Okay.
And what CARE stands for is connection, affirmation, renewal, and empowerment.
Okay.
I've been doing some research. I'm working on another degree, and a lot of my research focuses on these four elements. Some of the things that the kids are lacking that are in foster care, and some of the things that kind of drive mental illness in foster care children is not having connections, not being affirmed by family or community, and not having this new sense of purpose in life, and this idea of not knowing that they can achieve great things because of their circumstances. And so everything that we do in the future is going to center around these four concepts.
It was connection.
Connection.
Uh-huh.
Affirmation.
Okay.
Renewal and empowerment.
Empowerment. Okay.
And then empowerment just simply means giving them the tools and the resources, the confidence and the encouragement that they need to know that they can achieve great things in life, no matter their circumstances or their past.
Okay, good.
Basically, all things Christians need to know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you've done. It matters what you're going to do from this point forward.
Yes. That is so important. Our Lord takes us where we are and moves us forward, even when we fall back. He picks us up when we turn back to him.
He's yep. Towing the line. He's always at the end of that line, pulling us back forward.
Yeah. Showing the way home.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. I like that. So that's going to be part of your program moving forward.
That
do you have, I think you have a growth plan, physical growth plan.
We do. We've got a building project in the works right now for a multi-purpose building. We'll be here on campus. It's going to serve as a place for our kids to play when the weather doesn't allow outside, and also a place for us to host future fundraising events on campus. A lot of people like to come to campus, see the campus, and we'd love to have visitors. We've just finished a remodel on one of our buildings.
Yeah.
So next year, y'all will have a home again.
Okay. we miss nice. That.
Yeah, y'all need to go look at that.
We will.
And then we are have plans on remodeling our oldest building on campus into a respite quarters for our parents. That was until this idea you gave me today. So
you still need that.
Maybe reimagining that idea. But and we would in the future love to have more houses on campus. But
so the campus, if I remember, is about 10 acres.
About 10 acres.
Okay.
Yeah. And we've got about half of that still available
to
build on.
Yeah. It's a beautiful piece of property. Absolutely. Okay. Good. Well, it's nice to have goals because, again, folks can help the school in so many ways. One, of course, being be a part of this.
Right.
One of the other things I want to find out also is we want to know how, not just about the children's home, but how can we either as an individual, as a congregation of the church or other types of organizations, how can they help out? And okay, sorry, you go ahead with that.
Well, no, one of the tentacles of this CARE initiative is to incorporate trades into our teaching of the kids. Like we are inviting folks that have a financial background to come help the kids understand how to balance a checkbook,
excellent,
how to save money, how to spend money. Professional counselors. I've got a few professional counselors that are going to be coming and do professional counseling on campus. This helps to have a resource when we can just call them up and we need them, they can come. We've got tutors on campus. And so I've told churches that I've spoken to, if you are a professional in your field and are willing to teach that to the kids, I would love to expose them to as much of that as possible, because that's part of the empowerment and the renewal is learning a trade or getting interested in something they could take in college. A lot of our kids, only 3% of foster children actually go to college. And out of that 3%, only 1% will graduate with a degree. And so part of that idea is, and I understand college is not for everyone, but if it's something they're interested in, then I would like for them to be exposed to at least some dialogue about what it is they're interested in.
Okay.
Maybe spark them to work hard and go forth to accomplish that goal. But that would be from volunteers that would, you know, be willing to come on campus and teach them, or, you know, train them, or just kind of mentor them. That's mm-hmm. the word I'm looking yeah. for. Just yeah. trying to mentor them yeah. towards that goal.
Yeah, that sounds good. So you don't ever turn down if somebody wants to help monetarily.
Right.
And they can get a hold of the office here yep. and make arrangements for that.
They can. You can get on our website. It's www.nacch.com. And there is a support page there. You can click on there, and there's a couple of ways to support. Our phone number address is there. You can call us. We do PayPal. We go through Square. There's several ways that you can give.
It is tax deductible, of course.
Tax deductible.
Yeah.
Yep. And we would be glad to receive any of those funds.
Sure. Sure.
It takes about $56,000 a month to run the children's home. That's from salaries to socks.
Okay.
And so it's a substantial amount of money. But the Lord has blessed us. We're healthy. But we're hoping to be healthy for the next,
sure.
you know, unforeseeable future. I want to be able to operate a long time
yeah.
On what we have. And so that's our goal.
And you'd be willing to come talk to any congregation or organization?
Yeah, anywhere you want to, yeah, you want me to come, just get a hold of me. Okay. My number's on the website. You can call the office. I'd love to come tell you our story.
Okay, great. I think we're going to try to have you down to our congregation.
That's awesome.
We'll chat with you about that. Okay. Well, Chris, what an amazing ministry this is. And I thank you personally as well for being a guest on the podcast, but most of all, thank you and your staff for all that you do for the children. I always come to mind when we're talking about children, James 1:27, mm-hmm. you know, you know it well. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction and keep oneself unstained from the world.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, friends, thank you for joining Chris and I as together we journey to hope. My desire is that we have encouraged you to discover, sustain, or regain hope through this effort. I invite you to contact me if you have any questions or comments, or if you wish to share with me something you've experienced in your journey to hope. My email is ourjourneytohope@gmail.com. That's ourjourney and the number 2, hope@gmail.com. And please, share this podcast with someone whose hope is being challenged. I look forward to sharing more with you soon. Again, I'm Dr. Dave Layton, and thank you for listening. And until our next episode, remember, we give all glory to God our Father.